Boston Journal is on. We can open up phone lines for your calls. Hour. I'll do that in the next segment. But I'm going to stick for a moment to this Palisades story. Again, because people need to understand, you know, how this all works. Stories at InfoWars.com. Another conspiracy theory comes true. California bill passes to buy fire-ravaged Palisades for low-income apartments. They say thousands of hardworking families have been left homeless due to what appears to be epic fire mismanagement by Democrats in City Hall. The whole global warming narrative isn't sticking this time, overshadowed by sheer incompetence that increasingly looks intentional with each passing month. Just the news reports that California Senate Bill 549 has passed, allowing Los Angeles County and other municipalities to create, quote, resilient rebuilding authorities. And if you are a regular viewer of this show, then a little bell went off in your head when you heard that word resilient. Resilient, ding. That's one of those globalist watchwords. One of those words you look for, like stakeholder. Stakeholder and resilience and sufficiency. Resilient Rebuilding Authorities, RRAs, funded by property taxes. In other words, Democrats want to use public funds to acquire fire-damaged lots cheaply, coordinate rebuilding, and develop low-income housing. That was always the intention. And remember, we covered the story last week of the debris clearing companies that were charging upwards of $1 million a lot just to haul away trash. $1 million. They weren't rebuilding anything. They weren't laying a foundation to rebuild anything. All they're doing is dragging trash away, and they're charging like $430 million for 500 lots. So it's a giant scam. It's a giant money grab. Kickbacks are flowing back and forth, and they're using your suffering as an opportunity to enrich themselves and progress their own political ideas. That truly is the mindset of these people. And again, we can look at post-millennial story where the Democrats are openly saying that their only hope is for America to enter a depression. Yeah, sure, people's lives will be ruined. People will lose jobs. Their futures destroyed. Some people may die as a consequence of, you know, lack of sufficient food or the stress that happens when an economic downturn takes place, but the sacrifice the Democrats are willing to make as long as they get power again. Okay. They need to drive us into a depression, start wildfires everywhere. There's another video I had yesterday. Actually, there are a lot of videos that I didn't realize would be so pertinent. There's another video out of California of some random homeless person trying to start a wildfire, and he sets a tree on fire. And some like joggers nearby detained him and arrest him, and they were able to put the fire out. But yeah, it ain't global warming, folks. So as a funding mechanism, the bill would allow the RRA for the Los Angeles wildfires to issue, receive, and administer funds, including but not limited to tax increment financing, federal loans and grants, state loans and grants, and philanthropic grants to support recovery. RRA law would then be able to use taxpayer funds to oversee most of the construction process and would be granted the power to purchase lots at a fair price for land banking, purchase critical construction materials in bulk, and support the reconstruction workforce by partnering with trades, facilitating training and workforce deployment, and creating temporary workforce housing. RRA law would also facilitate reconstruction of lost rental housing stock, including by promotion of accessory dwelling units, senior living housing, and replacement of affordable housing lost in the fire. The remaining funding could be used for, quote, multifamily affordable housing projects, transit capital projects, and transit-oriented development projects. So again, all they're doing here is taking this disaster and this tragedy, hijacking the recovery in order to recreate the city in the image that they want, not the image that the citizens who built the city first designed it as. These people are despicable. Tyrants. What more do you need to know? We'll be right back.
All right, Alex wanted you. He gave you the methylene blue drink earlier. Is that correct?
Yeah.
And he wanted you to do a review.
Hey, I can feel a definite, like an energy spike. Yeah, it feels pretty good.
What are you going to do now?
I'm going to see if it has a crash.
I've never heard of a crash.
Yeah, apparently it doesn't. But yeah, it feels pretty good. Yeah, definitely feel sharper.
Okay.
Yeah, I was pretty tired coming in here.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
well, you're running around Texas right now. You're dealing with some other issues here.
I was driving all over Texas giving speeches for True Texas Project, and I was pretty efficient in sleep. Yeah, I'm feeling pretty good.
So did he give you the drink or the capsules?
I took the drink, but I got a bottle of each, and I'm going to go and do a longer-term test. We'll see how it goes.
Okay.
Yeah, I do feel kind of amped right now. Yeah.
That's good. Well, that's probably, I don't know, that might be because you're hanging out with me. So we gotta maybe try to get a
I think it's your methylene blue.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
All right, welcome back, folks. This is The American Journal. I'm going to open up the phone lines for your calls. The number to dial is 1-877-789-2539, 1-877-789-2539. Give us a call now. And folks, if you can, make your way over to thealexjonesstore.com. Get yourself the new Battle Dagger. And this one's pretty cool. I mean, they're all really cool. I mean, knives, I don't know if I've ever seen a not cool knife, but I particularly like this one. I like the case that it's in. I feel like one of the downfalls of a lot of pocket knives is you got to have two hands to access them, which isn't going to help you. You're in a life and death struggle. So I like how this one, it's like the hilt of the knife just sort of clicks into the case really nicely. So there's no release mechanism, but it just sort of clicks in there. You know, y'all hear that click? I'll hear that satisfying click. Ooh, that's high quality. That's a high quality construction right there. So it's new Alex Jones signature battle knife. It's got a hard case with a belt attachment here. All very high quality, very solidly made. An admirable piece of construction with, and you, like, it's not easy to pull. Ugh, it's not easy to get out, but you can do it one-handed. There's no release mechanism. It's got the Alex Jones signature on one side, 1776 on the other. It's just a very useful, very convenient, and very, very sharp knife available now at thealexjonesstore.com. Go there today, get the knife, stab your enemies. TheAlexJonesStore.com/Harrison if you want to let them know who sent you. TheAlexJonesStore.com/Harrison. And by the way, it comes with this really beautiful box. These boxes were sitting out yesterday and it was like, what is that? What is in that? Is it a gold chain? Is it some sort of high quality alcohol? No, it's just a beautiful knife. Just a beautiful knife on sale at TheAlexJonesStore.com/Harrison to let them know who sent you. And I think I'll just keep this out on the desk. I think I'm just going to keep this handy just in case. Like I said, we have a lot more to go to still in today's program. And it looks like the phone lines are filling up. We'll go out to those as soon as they come in. This was kind of confusing to me. Maybe the crew can help me out with this one. U.S. deports 5 migrants from Asian Caribbean nations to Eswatini. 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 Now, I'm pretty good geographically. I spent a lot of my time looking at maps. I play computer games where knowing the map of the world is how you win. I've never heard of Eswatini. Eswatini. What is the, what? What is Eswatini? Are they making it up? Where are these people? I mean, it sounds like a joke to me. So I guess there's a small African kingdom, King Eswatini. I don't know. It was formerly known as Swaziland, Eswatini. So there it is. There it is, way down there near South Africa, I guess, inside South Africa. I don't know. I don't think it exists. I think they made it up. I think they lost these 5 people.
The deported migrants are nationals of Cuba, Jamaica, Laos, Vietnam, and Yemen. These criminal illegal aliens are so uniquely barbaric that their home countries refuse to take them back, said the Department of Homeland Security. They were convicted of violent crimes such as child rape and murder, according to DHS. U.S. President Donald Trump's administration has defended so-called third country deportations as necessary since the home nations of some of those targeted for removal sometimes refuse to accept them. The U.S. Supreme Court in June paved the way for the Trump administration to resume deportations of undocumented migrants to countries that are not their own. They deported eight other migrants to conflict-plagued South Sudan earlier this month. U.S. authorities said that eight men, two from Cuba, two from Myanmar, one each from Vietnam, Laos, Mexico, and South Sudan, are convicted violent criminals. Eswatini, the last absolute monarchy in Africa, has been led by King Mswati III since 1986. Like, are we sure this isn't a Sacha Baron Cohen bit? It honestly sounds like it'd make a good movie. The 57-year-old ruler has been criticized for his lavish lifestyle and has faced accusations of human rights violations. His country, formerly known as Swaziland, is landlocked by neighbors South Africa and Mozambique. Trump campaigned for president last year, promising to expel millions of undocumented migrants from the U.S. Since returning to the White House, he's taken a number of actions aimed at speeding up such deportations. Eswatini. Okay. Again, I can't take these concerns seriously because you can just go home. They can all just go home. Every single one of them today, they could all just go home right now. So if they don't want to be sent to Swazili land or Cuba or South Sudan, if they don't want to be put in Alcatraz, they don't want to be strip searched by Border Patrol and housed in a concrete box for a couple months, go home. Go back to the place where you were born and where you lived your whole life and where you're a citizen. Go home. And if you don't complain about what happens to you. This is where we're at this point. The migrants should be seeking asylum from us. Doesn't make any sense the other way around. Mexicans seeking asylum from Mexico in America? This is nonsense. No, the foreigners should seek asylum from the natives in their home countries. They should go home. Stories over the weekend. This marijuana farm that was raided and they had a bunch of child migrant slaves paying off their debt to the cartels by working in marijuana farms. And look, say what you want about marijuana legalization or whatever. Kids should not be working in the farms. That's insane. That's insane. But one of the people, like, it was like intense ICE raids target farms in California, leaving one dead. Oh my God. Oh my God, they're killing people? And then you look into it and the guy jumped off the roof. Guy jumped off a 30-foot roof. Because he didn't want to go home. A Mexican guy was told to go back to Mexico. So he jumped off the roof and killed himself. Am I supposed to feel sorry for this guy? Who's gone back to Mexico? He's literally standing on the edge of the roof. Like the ICE agents approaching him. He's going, oh, gee, take a 2-hour flight back to my homeland or jump into the abyss. I guess I'll jump into the abyss. It's like, okay. Yeah, migrant farm worker dies after falling 30 feet from roof during chaotic California pot farm raid. Should have gone home. Well, I should have just gone home. There's another story. I was never able to confirm it, but apparently Alligator Alcatraz had its first fatality. Again, I wasn't able to confirm it, but there were stories of some guy tried to escape from Alligator Alcatraz and they basically never found him again. Oh, by the way, Benjamin Hanil Song has been found. I believe they captured that guy yesterday. He was still on the run, but today, so Somebody linked me a story saying that he had, in fact, been caught, or at least some of the people from the ICE assault had been caught. That's good to see. So, yeah, if you're worried about being eaten by alligators, if you're worried about being abused by ICE, if you're worried about, you know, losing all of your stuff when you're hauled away or being separated from your family, all of these things have one very quick and easy solution. It's go the hell home today. Okay? Go the hell home today. And none of this has to concern you. The end. The end, period. So we don't feel sorry for you. No matter what happens. All right. All right. We'll go out to your calls here in just a second. But we'll talk about Epstein now. Again, the story from InfoWars actually puts it correctly. From Kellen McBreen, all but one Republican on House Rules Committee block motion to allow Congress a vote on releasing Epstein files. It doesn't quite roll off the tongue in the way the mainstream media is reporting it. The way they're saying it is all Republicans vote to, you know, vote against disclosure of the Epstein files. It's not really how it works. It's not really how this happened. We'll go to clip number 13. This is Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene explaining the actual vote to Benny Johnson.
I got to correct something real quick.
Please.
So it's being reported that House Republicans unanimously voted to block the release of the Epstein files. And I want to straighten out the record right now. That is not true. If I could vote, okay. If I could vote to release the Epstein files, guys, you would have my vote. I would vote yes. Here's what just happened. It was a procedural vote, and we have these all the time. It's called a PQ. It's voting on the previous question. And if the Democrats had won the previous question, which I know sounds insane, it's one of these crazy rules in the House that are hard to understand, that means they would control the House floor. And that means they could bring up anything. They could bring up impeachment articles against President Trump. They could bring up a whole package of insane Democrat agenda items and force votes on the House floor on these things. That's what we voted against. We never allowed Democrats to have control of the House floor because we control the House floor.
Yes.
So it's a misunderstanding. And I just wanted to straighten that.
So, I mean, either way, it's just why the fact that this is even a topic of discussion is just a complete failure of the Trump administration to fulfill their campaign promises. And they're raking him over the coals for this. And frankly, they deserve it for how they've handled this. I can't say, I don't even want to give advice to the people covering this up. But it's like this, it's why they deserve it. It's why they deserve for this to be a scandal, because they actually could have handled it better. Like, they could have just come out and said, we're not releasing the Epstein files because there's innocent people in there and that's not how we do it in America. And if you're not charged and convicted of a crime, we're not going to release your information to the public. With that insinuation, they could even make it a partisan thing and go, you know, that's what Merrick Garland did. You know, Merrick Garland at the very end of the election, towards the end of the 2024 election, you know, released this document framing all of these right-wing conservative podcasters as if they were Russian agents. You know, people still call Tim Pool a Russian agent when the reality was they investigated him for something, found that he was totally innocent and should have never even released the investigation to the public. Like, that's not the way that our legal system works. And it's obvious why, right? If somebody's accused of something, but there's no credibility to it, but they're never actually going to go on trial. Like, if you accuse somebody of something in public, you need to then let them have a trial because you need to give them a platform to defend themselves. But if you're not going to charge the person, you're never going to actually bring them to court. And you can't release, you know, the facts about, you know, what you suspected them of and the results of the investigation, even though it came up with nothing. Like, that's not how it works. It's not how any of this works. It's totally unfair because you'd be punishing people who weren't convicted of a crime. And that's illegal. Like, they want to explain that in terms of the Epstein files than they could have. And it's almost like it's because the reason that the Epstein file is being withheld is so corrupt that they're like scrambling to find the method to cover it up. If it legitimately was like, look, there's just nothing to show. There's no files. Files are too grainy, so you can't actually see anybody. If that was actually the thing that was happening, it would look a lot different. It would look a lot different. So AP has the story. Trump's embrace of conspiracy theories haunt him with Epstein case. And again, it's just the psyop. It's just the psyop of acting like this is a conspiracy theory. I'm sorry, what aspect of this is a conspiracy theory? Did Jeffrey Epstein not die in custody? I mean, that's true, right? He died in custody. Why was he in custody? Because he's been arrested for trafficking in underage women. Who did he traffic the women to? You tell me where the speculation or irresponsible conspiracy theorizing comes in. These are just questions. These are mysteries. These are without explanation. And the authorities who know the truth and have the explanation are withholding it. So you want to ask why? I don't know why this is confusing to people, but we have lots of information about this. In case anybody was thinking that we are, you know, confused at any of this or speculating wildly, let me just give you the facts. This is from Brian Allen at Allen Analysis on X. He says, we know exactly who had custody of the Epstein prison footage and now and how 2 minutes and 53 seconds vanished before the world saw it. The cover-up has timestamps. Let's trace the chain. The night Epstein died, only one camera in the SHU was even recording. The rest were down for 11 days. MCC's DVR crashed on July 29th, and nobody fixed it. Not IT, not security, not the leadership. That's the first failure. So who had custody of the footage? Well, MCC tech staff recorded it. The FBI seized the drives on August 11th. DOJ oversaw the investigation. And in May 2025, somebody under the name MJ Cole 1 opened the files in Adobe Premiere and trimmed them by exactly 2 minutes and 53 seconds. The cut starts at 11:58:58 p.m. and it ends at 12:01:51 a.m. That means the entire, quote, missing minute that everybody asked about was literally edited out of the final public video. The DOJ then called the footage raw, saying it was the raw footage. So again, the question is, are we allowed to speculate about this? We know all this to be true. We've looked at the metadata. Mainstream media outlets have published this finding. So you want to explain why? So there's this video that supposedly didn't exist, but then they came out with it. But it was edited to remove nearly 3 minutes. You want to explain why you removed that 3 minutes and what was in that 3 minutes? I guess the question would be, why would one remove 3 minutes of a video? I know this is obvious. I know this is a little bit Captain Obvious over here. But if the video didn't show anything, it wouldn't be edited. Okay, so just following the chain of logic that if you're going to go in and edit a video and cut out 3 minutes, it's probably because that 3 minutes had something that you didn't want it to see. And so then the question simply becomes, what was it they didn't want us to see? Not whether there was something they wanted us to see, not whether the video was fake or not. Those things are established fact. Yes, the video was cut. Yes, 3 minutes was removed. Yes, the only reason one would remove 3 minutes is because there was something in those 3 minutes that they didn't want us to see. The only question that remains, what did they not want us to see? And the fact that the people in power are withholding that information means that they know it's bad and that they're conspiring to keep the truth hidden. That's a conspiracy, not a theory, just a fact. Just a fact. It's very simple. It's actually not all that complicated at all. So who is responsible? Well, Lamine D.A. was the warden who failed to fix the DVR. BOP officers Noel and Thomas lied about the cell checks. I believe they were the ones who fell asleep during the night, supposedly. Company One, the security contractor that built the faulty system, FBI CART team who took over the evidence, DOJ technician MJ Cole One, who edited the video before release, and finally Pam Bondi, overseeing DOJ's public explanation, said it was, quote, just a glitch. Here's what that means. The original footage ran past midnight. The system didn't crash. It rebooted and still captured some of that missing window. But instead of showing us that, they cut it. They literally trimmed the timeline and called it transparency. It wasn't one glitch. It was a collapse. The camera's down. The footage lost. Staff falsified logs. Text missed repairs. FBI edited the file. DOJ published a stitched version and hoped nobody would check the metadata. This case had one job. Preserve the video. Show the truth. Instead, we got Adobe Premiere, we've got MJ Cole 1, we got broken DVR and midnight cut, and now we have 2 minutes and 53 seconds missing forever. This is bigger than Epstein. It's about chain of custody, digital forensics, and how the state handles evidence when it's convenient. They thought the metadata didn't matter. Well, it does now. These people deserve to see every second, not a stitched-together highlight reel. Release the full unedited drive. Unmask MJ Cole 1. Explain why 2 minutes and 53 seconds vanished. We saw the edit. Now we want the receipts. And I even saw people, there's somebody else, I don't know if I'll be able to find it here, but somebody else was commenting on the missing footage. And they're like, oh, this typically happens when, maybe, no, this is more about Letnik. They're going, this happens when it gets converted from analog to digital. There can be a time frame skips because the frame rate doesn't align correct. And it's like, I'm sorry, what do you think is happening? You think that the security cameras in the jail are on film? Is that what you think is going on? You think they got some Kodaks in there? Big film reels? They're editing on a big reel-to-reel editing bay somewhere? What do you mean the transcoding it from analog to digital? It's all digital. It's always all digital. There's no tape. There's no analog anything. Even the tape itself is digital if it were to be mini DV or something like it. You know what DV stands for? Digital video. There's no analog. So it's just the excuses people are coming up with this are very telling. They're very telling because the real answer is obvious. Doesn't require speculation. They cut the video. They cut the video. They put it into Premiere Pro. They cut it. They exported it. They did not scrub the metadata. And now here we are. Trump and Epstein docs, why Trump betrayed the MAGA base. Since last Monday, when the Justice Department announced it would not be releasing documents relating to Jeffrey Epstein and his 2019 death in a New York prison, the MAGA movement has been up in arms. Prominent voices like Megyn Kelly are calling on President Trump to fire Attorney General Pam Bondi. FBI Deputy Director Dan Bongino reportedly skipped work on Friday after a vicious fight with Bondi over the non-release, and a Truth Social post from Trump calling for his allies to stop talking about Epstein has not yet put out the fires. No, it only really increased it. Again, much like a lot of the other stuff, if everything else that Trump ran on was getting done, this wouldn't be a big issue either. If Merrick Garland and Alejandro Mayorkas were on trial for treason right now, you think we'd be talking about the Epstein files? If the deportations were such that millions of people had been removed, you think we'd care about the focus on, you know, anti-Israel content information? Just get what we want done, and we won't care about this other stuff. But the other stuff is reflective of their failure to deliver.
There's a reason why supplements are so big and so popular and have such a great result. It's because whether it's your diet, whether it's your exercise routine, the point is you're lacking in some very important vitamins, very important minerals that can make you healthier, live longer, and feel better.
We're also under constant attack, Owen, and that's what's very important. So the modern human living experience, the environment that we subject ourselves to, it's the equivalent of smoking like a couple packs of cigarettes every single day. Like, that's the bad food that we eat, that's the poison in the water, XYZ.
So it's kind of like what happens is, Rex Jones in studio with me, we're about to make a very exciting new product announcement here. So what ends up happening is, whether it's the modern day diet, or whether it's the modern day atmosphere, or whether it's, you know, a sedative state, you're not getting whatever it is you need to make your body function at its highest capabilities.
Absolutely correct. And that's why we created these two new formulas that are now live at thealexjonesstore.com. So we've got Methyl Drive here, and we've also got Power Plant. Now, both of them, at their core, they do around the same type of thing. It's increasing fuel for you to create new mitochondria. It's increasing mitochondrial efficiency. It's reducing oxidative stress and XYZ, other things like that. Now, I want to single out Power Plant really quick. If you're a guy and you're looking for a boost, a healthy, sustainable testosterone boost, we made Power Plant specifically for someone who wants to increase their free testosterone.
I remember when I was looking into supplements and stuff and different things, like, you know, people don't get enough boron. They don't even know what boron is. And I remember one thing that always stuck in my head, and that's, you know, it's just true. Well, what does boron kind of rhyme with, folks? I'll just leave it at that. You know what I mean?
We've got bits and pieces of a system here that comes together and provides you just the antioxidant support you need, the testosterone support you need, the mitochondrial health support you need. It's all there. It's all together. It's in both of these products. You could take both of these at the same time and experience a heck of a lot of benefits. Now, I would say younger, older. You're an older person. You need more overall body support. You need the overall antioxidant support. I would go with the Methyl Drive. But if you're a younger person or someone looking for a performance boost, I would go with the Power Plant.
I can enhance what I'm doing here maybe like tenfold with the right supplement routine.
Absolutely. I totally agree with that statement. Look, the reason why this is called Power Plant is because it has cordyceps in it. Now, of course, the mitochondria is the powerhouse of the cell and all of that, but cordyceps is like an elite top tier S tier ingredient, which increases the amount of ATP you make, which indirectly helps you make more mitochondria, but beyond that, increases your oxygen carrying capacity. So you want to talk about workouts, you want to talk about power, you want to talk about strength, talk about Power Plant.
And that's what you need, especially when you're doing a heavy lift and you need to have good breathing, or you're doing long form cardio and you need to have strong breathing. That's where this is going to come into play. And when you started to talk about the new product that we just came out with the PQQ and the CoQ10.
Yes, the Methyl Drive.
Folks, I'm telling you, it's like if I had to do a list of like, okay, if someone said you can pick five things that you're going to get in a supplement, like what are the most important things? Guarantee you, you ask me 100 times, PQQ and CoQ10 are on that list for me 100 times.
Vitamin B12, as-methylcobalamin, the good kind. Magnesium, coenzyme Q10, CoQ10, PQQ, black pepper for absorption. You can't ask for a better catch-all, really. And the synergy that both of these products have with the Methylene Blue is unparalleled. You will not find a better product on the market that's targeted in that specific way, because we made these for you, the customer, and for ourselves, because we believe in the product. We take the product.
TheAlexJonesStore.com to get these new products. Try them for yourself. I know they're going to become a staple. I see Rex working out here every once in a while. We've worked out in the gym every once in a while. And, you know, he's really excited about this stuff. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Putting the power of conversation into the caller's hands. You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith.
All right, welcome back, folks. We'll go to your phone calls. I was just reading this Vox article. I don't know. It's so weird, man. Like, the way they say these things, they go, the MAGA base is deeply invested in the idea that Epstein ran a sex trafficking ring, that he did not merely abuse young girls on his own, but rather pimp them out to other rich and powerful people. Pretty much everyone in the administration from Trump down promised to get to the bottom of the story, and now they're doing nothing. The MAGA base is deeply invested in the idea that Epstein ran a sex trafficking ring. Well, he was federally charged with running a sex trafficking ring. That's what I don't get. It's like, so what do they think? What do they think? What are they deeply invested in? I don't know, man. It's just so weird how you just say the truth and people frame it as MAGA is deeply invested in this idea that Epstein was somehow. It's just like, it's just the way it is. What are you talking about? It's just the fact. Epstein ran a sex trafficking ring. It's what he was on trial for when he was murdered. Or Mossad helped him escape, and he's living in Tel Aviv now. We're deeply invested in the idea. Okay.
Say, but there's something even darker at work here. In telling his supporters to move on from Epstein, Trump is betraying a fundamental structure of his political movement. It's populism. He's showing, in short, that MAGA is not truly a movement of the people against the elites, but rather a politics that revolves around Trump himself. I'm sorry, is that not the literal exact opposite of what's happening? Literally the exact opposite. What this is in fact proving is that MAGA does not revolve around Trump, and he does not dictate what MAGA is concerned with, and that he has no ability to tell us to shut up. This is ridiculous. And apparently he's put out another Truth Social. What is this? The 10th time he's trying to like put a lid on this, and it's only made it worse every time. Let's see how he makes it worse this time. He says, the radical left Democrats have hit pay dirt again. And just like with the fake, fully discredited Steele dossier, the lying 51 intelligence agents, the laptop from hell, which Democrats swore had come from Russia, no, it came from Hunter Biden's bathroom, and even Russia scam itself, a totally fake and made-up story used in order to hide crooked Hillary Clinton's big loss in the 2016 election, these scams and hoaxes, and all the Democrats are good at, it's all they have. They are no good at governing, no good at policy, no good at picking winning candidates, and unlike Republicans, they stick together like glue. Their new scam is what we will forever call the Jeffrey Epstein hoax, and my past supporters have bought into this BS hook, line, and sinker. They haven't learned their lesson and probably never will, even after being conned by the lunatic left for 8 years. Look.
Are you a past supporter of Donald Trump?
I guess I am now. This is the worst one yet.
And not in a Mitch Hedberg way.
No, right. Not because I used to, too. It's just so crazy. It's so crazy because he's literally doing what he's accusing the 51 agents of doing. What did you have with the laptop from hell? The laptop from hell, you had a bunch of very damaging information about Hunter Biden that in order to stop it from coming out, the Democrats lied and said it was actually from the Russians, so you should ignore it, right? Don't pay attention to this. That's just what the Russians want you to think. Literally what Trump is doing. Oh, the Epstein files? Yeah, they're legitimate. But don't look at you. But this is just a Democrat scam. So, I mean, literally in exactly the same way that they said, oh, well, you know, the Hunter Biden laptop could be Russian disinformation, so ignore it. Trump is now saying the Jeffrey Epstein case is Democrat disinformation, so ignore it. He's literally doing he's using exactly the same tactic as the left did in trying to cover up and distract from and provide justification to ignore the Hunter Biden laptop. I want you to find, I'm going to challenge the crew and the audience. If you can find a single Democrat calling for the release of the Epstein files before the year 2025, I don't know if I've ever seen it. I would be very surprised if I did. I mean, what? I'm trying to think of like who, like maybe Bernie Sanders, like who's one of these people, one of the Democrats that will break ranks every once in a while that would actually talk about Epstein. I don't think a single one. So he really is treating us like we're stupid, like we have no memory. He's trying to conflate Jeffrey Epstein with the laptop from hell and with Russia. These two things are totally different in the first place. One of them was completely fabricated as an excuse to get warrants to spy on Trump's campaign to try to throw him in jail or at the very least stop him from becoming president. So that was totally baseless, no evidence, a fantasy fiction story made up by a British spy that the FBI pretended to believe in because they wanted the warrants. Okay, so totally fake. Total manipulation, total corruption. By the way, it's like he talks about all this stuff and all the people who did it are still working for him or are still out and free. Oh my gosh. Oh, the 51 intelligence agents. Well, have any of them been arrested? No? How much do you really care about this? I'm not buying it. I don't think he actually cares. Again, if every one of those 51 intelligence agents had at this point been arrested for conspiracy to manipulate the election, which clearly they were involved in, and, you know, none of this, again, not speculation. It's a conspiracy. They conspired, okay, to rig the election, to hide damaging information about Joe Biden. If every one of those 51 people had been arrested, we wouldn't be asking about Epstein. If Peter Strzok and Lisa Page and Andrew McCabe and James Comey and everybody else involved in the Russiagate conspiracy, including Obama and Hillary, if they'd all been charged with treason and put on trial, we wouldn't be talking about Epstein. But all of these people who did fabricate manufacture scandal, which hugely damaged this country in innumerable ways, if these people had been, you know, caught and tried, convicted, punished, we wouldn't care about Epstein. This is completely, utterly different than Epstein in like 1,000 different ways. This is such a ridiculous comparison. Up until this point, I've just been frustrated at Trump. Reading this kind of makes me hate Trump, I got to say. I'm feeling a lot of like, yeah, there you go, Kellen McGreen, F you too. Yeah, that's how I feel. And it's such a tragedy. It's such a tragedy because, like, this was our hope.
Hey, after the show today, do you want to, like, dye each other's hair?
Yeah. Yeah, or we're going to go pink hair. Yeah, I mean, you know, why is this the hill Trump is dying on? It's just pathetic. Honestly. Crazy. But I guess that's what you get when you ally with Israel. Like, I don't know. I guess that's what you get. And again, that's the point. That's the reason that we're talking about Epstein so much, because it's simply indicative. It is a symbol and a example of just how thoroughly controlled our government is by the state of Israel and their Mossad agent, Jeffrey Epstein, who Trump is burning down his own movement to protect. Let's go to your calls now. We've got international callers. John in Argentina, thank you very much for calling in about the concentration camp Israel is making. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, morning. While everyone is focused on Epstein, and it's certainly understandable, it's a story that has everything, sex, spies, celebrities. But meanwhile, there's a truly heart-rending story coming out of Israel. Israel has a concentration camp under construction in Rafah in the south of the Strip, kind of redundant because all of Gaza is actually a concentration camp. But they're doing a real bona fide, you know, with the fence around it, and it's a Jared Kushner plan, basically. Just bulldoze a piece of land and put a bunch of tents up, and they're going to relocate everyone there. The problem is the Army came up with the plan, but the government says they don't have the money. And it's going to cost too much money. It's going to cost $6 billion, and they don't have it. So why can't a world power, say one is controlled by evangelical Christians and other people who want to stand by Israel, why can't they stand up and supply that money? That's just a fraction of what we've given them since October 7th. It's got to be a couple hundred billion already. Can't we do that, please? Just wondering. And I think that's why Netanyahu came to visit a couple of weeks ago to say, we're building this, you're paying for it, and you're going to provide the security with your mercenaries, because we like the idea of Americans shooting Palestinians.
Mm-hmm.
Just my thoughts.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And, you know, there's a well, I don't know if it's a strategy or not, but, you know, it's almost to the point where, like, I don't even want to cover Israel because it's too evil. You know what I mean? Like, I just, it's like you wouldn't even believe it if I told you what they get up to on a continual basis. I've had all these stories for days, and it's like, I don't want to talk about it because it's like too much evil to even deal with. I mean, right now they're bombing Syria. They're bombing the capital, Damascus, which just yesterday they were saying, oh, we're friends with Syria now because they overthrew Assad and put an ISIS commander in his place. So it's just, you know, it's like, you think that would be evil enough. You think that replacing the Assad regime that actually protected minorities with a vicious Al-Qaeda offshoot that immediately started torching churches and attacking the Druze, like, you would think that would be enough, but now they're bombing that government. Because why not? I mean, I'll just read headlines without like expanding on it too much. Again, this is just the type of stuff. This is from a week. This is a week of Israel news that, you talk about Israel too much. I swear to God, I could talk every minute of every day, and I could cover a different atrocity every minute, and I'd never run out of atrocities. It's too much. It's too much. From Haaretz, Israel wants to build the most moral concentration camp in the world. Well, great. Good for them. Technical munition error kills 10 civilians at Gaza water plant. At least 8 Palestinians, including 6 children, were killed in an Israeli strike while collecting water in central Gaza. The Israeli military reported that a missile targeting an Islamic Jihad militant malfunctioned and fell dozens of meters from the target. Gaza's health ministry stated that more than 58,000 people have been killed since war began, with 139 fatalities reported in just the last 24 hours. So they killed 10 people, at least 6 children, because the missile they were launching landed a couple feet away from where it was supposed to. So not their fault, I guess. Whoops. Technical error. Our bad. Sorry about all the dead children. No, we're not going to help you pick up their limbs. Israel plans for Gaza draw criticism of, quote, concentration camp. They're calling it a humanitarian city. Concentration camp? No, it's a humanitarian city. Don't worry. I want them to build the concentration camp so we can compare the facilities between Auschwitz and whatever they build in Gaza. Will Gaza have a maternity ward? Will the concentration camp in Gaza have a band? Will they play soccer with the guards? Will there be a swimming pool with a diving board? Will they have choir? Will 3,000 Gazans be born in the death camp, I wonder? All I'm saying, if they're going to build a concentration camp in Gaza, it better be up to Auschwitz standards. All right? I don't want to see some half-assed chain-link fence, you know, miserable, bare earth. I want to see Auschwitz-level comforts. Okay, swimming pools, theaters, pianos, where they can play music, arts and crafts, okay, maternity ward, all right? You're going to build a concentration camp, do it right. Meanwhile, the Israeli airstrikes on Gaza killed the surgical consultant at the Baptist Hospital, Dr. Ahmed Quandil. More than 1,588 medical doctors, nurses, and other health professionals have been killed by Gaza. In Gaza by the Israeli bombardment, 6 October 7th, 2023. Look at this terrorist. Look at this evil terrorist who treated children in a hospital. I'm sure he deserved it. Frankly, the shocking thing is that there are still hospitals there. Maybe there's not. I don't know. Anyway, they killed that guy. Children collecting water strike killed in Gaza. Children collecting water killed in strike. Gaza officials report, as IDF says, it missed the intended target. Yeah, whoopsie-daisy, sorry for all the dead kids. A 1,600-year-old church in the Holy Land has now been torched, not by ISIS, not by Hamas, but by Israeli settlers. And the victims are Christians, your brothers and sisters in Christ. In fact, an American-Palestinian Christian was beaten to death by Israeli settlers a few days ago. The village is called Taba. It is in the West Bank, 10 miles from Jerusalem. In the Bible, it's known as Ephraim, where Jesus retreated before his passion. It's the last 100% Christian town in the West Bank, and it's under attack daily. On July 7th, settlers burned the Church of St. George, a nearby Christian cemetery. This isn't just any church. It was built in the 5th century. It's one of the oldest Christian worship sites in the Holy Land. Villagers and fire crews saved it from complete destruction. But our loving greatest allies, the Israelis, did try to burn it to the ground and completely destroy it. This is not an isolated incident. Homes have been set on fire. Olive groves have been destroyed. Farmers threatened. Armed settlers grazing cattle on Christian lands. Police and military often do nothing. This is systematic intimidation of Christians. Let's get real. If Muslim extremists had done this, X would be on fire. Church leaders would issue statements. The headlines would read, Christian village under siege. But because the attackers are Israeli settlers, silence or worse, excuses. Many Christians are afraid to speak out because they've been taught a distorted theology. And it goes on. But, you know, the important thing to know is that the Israeli settlers are murdering Palestinian Christians, burning historic Christian sites, and taking over the town of Taba because they're Jewish extremists that hate Christians just as much, if not more, than they hate Muslims. And if you believe otherwise, you have fallen for the propaganda. And I hope you wake up before it's too late. All Palestinians in Gaza are eligible for asylum in France, according to a court. So they'll send them all to France, and then I guess they'll do it to France next. I guess that's the convenience of having, you know, this type of mindset, is you can send all of the innocent civilians that you call terrorists to another country, and then that country is now a terrorist country, and you can eradicate them, and you can bomb that into smithereens, and you can take that over. So it's all very convenient. By the way, cash in the Gaza Strip will be abolished as part of the new loving plan from our greatest allies. Zero cash and an advanced monetary supervision mechanism will be implemented. Okay, so they are rolling out. So, folks, we got big news here. Israel itself is rolling out the mark of the beast in Gaza for their benefit because they love them so much, because they're such moral people in this moral concentration camp. Your purchases will be monitored by a novel new mechanism called the Mark of the Beast. It's really beautiful. So yes, cash in the Gaza Strip will be abolished. This, of course, relating back to what I've been saying for the last 2 years, which is Gaza is the world's first 15-minute city, that what they are doing in Gaza is simply a blueprint for what they'll roll out to the rest of the world just as soon as you help them do it to the people in Gaza because you think you're on the right side. This is all part of the Coalition for Regional Security, the Abraham Shield Program, that talks about the way that they will turn Gaza into a concentration camp where there will be a cashless society. And it's all very beautiful and good. Principles of the Magen, the Avraham Plan, it's the Coalition for Regional Security, Abraham Shield Program, closing the front in Gaza, returning all hostages, establishing a technocratic transitional government in Gaza, and regionally led de-Hamasinization. So I think this is important to discuss. So the plan for Gaza and the creation of the new concentration camp is directly and explicitly aligned with the technocratic plans for the New World Order. They are, in fact, calling their new creation a technocratic transitional government in Gaza that will not use cash, that will have surveillance mechanisms to determine when and where you can purchase things. This, of course, combined with the drone patrols and constant mass surveillance and the barriers stopping you from traveling too far from your home in order to, and you have to get permission in order to move from place to place, just like a 15-minute city, only in this case it's got automatic machine guns above the gates. I genuinely don't know how anybody can be against the New World Order, can be aware of what the plans of globalism and the one world government entail, and not see how Israel is very clearly progressing this agenda in the Middle East in every possible way, Gaza in particular, but of course the, you know, eradication of opposition in Syria and Iran and China and Russia are all, you know, key aspects of this destruction of nationalism, so everybody can be folded into the one world government run by Israel, who will treat the rest of us like Gazans. It's not that complicated. It's actually very simple, and they tell it to you themselves. Let's keep going. In Hamas, an incident in Khan Yunis, 9 Israeli soldiers were wounded in Gaza, 5 of them critically. 3 soldiers from the Golani Brigade were killed. So yeah, there are, you know, now that Israel actually has to go into Gaza and aren't just bombing it from afar, but actually have to have boots on the ground, they are getting killed, which means that the entire year and a half bombing campaign that has left most of Gaza in ruin has not actually effectively targeted Hamas at all. And Israeli soldiers are still being killed by Hamas in the very areas they claim to have cleared a year ago. So it just goes to show you that, you know, if you're trying to fight a military group, bombing hospitals and schools and refugee camps isn't actually effective at disabling their ability to fight you. So that's interesting. Again, sort of gives the lie to everything Israel said they've been doing for the last year and a half. Israeli forces massacre 118 Palestinians in Gaza over 24 hours. This is from July 3rd. More than 300 Palestinians have been killed in Gaza over the last 3 days. 580 have been wounded in the previous 24-hour period as heavy U.S.-backed Israeli strikes continue across the strip and Israeli troops continue to shoot people seeking aid. So it's like, it's just relentless evil. It's just relentless murder, relentless tyranny, relentless deception and lies to uphold it all, relentless manipulation, and just suffering of innocent people on an unending basis forever, every time you mention Israel. So again, this is all from just the last week. So kill a couple hundred people there, murder a couple kids over here, bomb a water treatment facility over there, technocratic control of Gaza. Of course, this is at the same time Netanyahu was meeting with Trump at the White House. This is the way you know it's a concentration camp. Haaretz says defense ministry, one headline says defense minister says Israel plans to concentrate all of Gaza's population in humanitarian zone. And the Times of Israel says they're going to create humanitarian camps to house Gazans. So they're going to concentrate people in camps. Okay, so calm down. It's just a concentration camp forever. I'm literally halfway through the headlines and I could just keep going and going and going. Because again, I just don't know how to explain to you how evil Israel is. Because it's like cartoonish. Rex Jones is going to join me in studio. We're going to take your calls throughout the next hour. I do want to remind you to go to thealexjonesstore.com. Take advantage of the Power Drive bundle. You can save 50% now if you schedule monthly deliveries of this bundle, including Methyl Drive and Power Plant, together just $69.99. The Power Drive bundle is a two-part assault on fatigue, brain fog, and low performance. Power Plant lays the groundwork by boosting circulation, and the Methyl Drive brings it all home. Go now to thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison to let them know who sent you. Power Drive, the cellular energy bundle, now on sale. Get 50% off. Schedule it monthly.
So we had Stuart Rhodes, the founder of Oath Keepers, former K-6 political prisoner, constitutional lawyer, so much more on paratrooper. And he wanted to try methylene blue like so many other guests have done live on air. I got so busy with all the Iran war stuff and the commies rioting to ever get him to take it on air. All the guests, dozens of them that have taken it, within 45 minutes to an hour, have varying degrees from extreme energy and feeling really great, to fog lifting, to just over the top crying and feel so good. Especially the first time you take it. Electrochemical in the mitochondria, cleans out the cells, just does incredible things. RFK Jr.'s loves it. We've got the strongest ultra methylene blue. But he's going on Owen in about 30 minutes. My show just ended and I forgot to do this. He's like, hey, are we doing methylene blue? So he's going to take it now. But guys, don't forget when he's on Owen. To maybe if he forgets before he's going to go off, to then tell us what he felt. And if he doesn't feel it, we'll put that out. I've had like out of 300 plus people we've given it to, two people did not feel it. That means your mitochondria is in perfect shape. So Stuart, go ahead and take a half dropper or so. That's about a half dose. And then go ahead and shut that down. And then we're going to find out what happens to you. We'll see. Most people, it hits within about 30 minutes. It starts peaking after a couple hours. But you're going to be on Owen. So please, before you go, just tell people what you think. And if you don't feel it, we're going to tell everybody.
20 minutes later.
I can feel a definite, like, an energy spike. Yeah, it feels pretty good.
What are you going to do now? Now that you have your energy spike?
I'm going to see if it has a crash.
I've never heard of a crash.
Yeah, apparently it doesn't. But yeah, it feels pretty good. Yeah, definitely I feel sharper.
Okay.
Yeah, because I was pretty tired coming in here.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was.
Well, you're running around Texas right now. You're dealing with some other issues here.
I was driving all over Texas giving speeches for True Texas Project, and I was pretty efficient in sleep. Yeah, right. I'm feeling pretty good.
So did he give you the drink or the capsules?
I took the drink, but I got a bottle of each, and I'm going to go and do a longer-term test. We'll see how it goes.
Okay.
Yeah, I do feel kind of amped right now. Yeah.
That's good. Well, that's probably, I don't know, that might be because you're hanging out with me. So we gotta maybe try to get.
I think it's for methylene blue.